independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He needs Steve to turn himself in. Right now, there are two families out there that are hurting. Mr. Goodwin's family, and of course, there are people out there that care about Steve and want to see this not go any further. So we're asking him to turn himself in. We've brought everything to bear on this, and everybody is out there looking for Steve. We want this to end with as much peace as we can bring to this right now. And we want him to turn himself in.
Yes, Steve, turn yourself in. Not going to do it, by the way. That right there was the man who is leading the charge, Cleveland Chief of Police Calvin Williams, Steve Stevens, yesterday, having a bad day, apparently, because his girlfriend, this woman who apparently is magical, that she can make people do things like kill innocent people who've done nothing because she's so mean. Steve Stevens yesterday decided that he was going to film himself giving little blow-by-blows of his day that was right up into and then after walking up to a 74-year-old grandfather doing nothing but picking up aluminum recycling cans, retired, enjoying his life with his daughter and his grandkids, and just living life to the fullest. A retired foundryman, 74, doing nothing. When Steve Stevens came up and asked him a question and said, hey, can you say the name Joy Lang? He did. That's when Steve Stevens shot him for no reason. This guy is an idiot. He is an ass clown. He is dangerous, to say the least. And of course, like everything in this world nowadays, you must unleash your stupidity, your anger on the world, and do it via social media.
Dog, I just want to tell you, dog, I love you. I love you, dog. And dog, listen, man, I shamed the Fourth Sons of Perseverance, man. I shamed 4th District. I shamed Zeta Omega. And most importantly, I shamed myself. I just snapped, dog. I just killed 13 motherfuckers, man. That's what I did. I killed 13 people. And I'm about to keep killing until they catch me.
Okay. Well, first of all, there is nothing to back up his BS that he killed 13 people, but we know he killed one. An innocent man doing absolutely nothing because he's a scumbag. An innocent man who did nothing at all, but worked hard his whole life, probably faced true, real racism in this world, and retired to enjoy his golden years with his grandkids, only to have a few shots fired in by this angry SOB. But don't worry, though, guys. He's got an explanation of why he's so angry.
But see, the thing is, man, I'm 37, and all my f***ing life, man, I just always been a f***ing monster, man. Always had to prove myself, you know, always had to fucking take the butts of people's jokes.
Don't care that you take the butts of people's jokes. Did comedy the other night. I'm self-deprecating. I am. Have a little fun. Nothing wrong with it. Be the butt of the joke after a while. Oh, can people get pushed? Yeah, absolutely. But those are people who are very weak in their mind. This SOB is spiraled out of control to the place where it's the most scariest. When you listen to him talk, there's no worry in his voice. There's no fear in his voice. There is this kind of understanding that what has happened has happened. This realization that he's probably going to get shot and die in a hail of gunfire because that's what you want to do. It's about making your fame and infamy. He's probably enjoying this all the time, checking in on his Facebook page, doing those kind of things. Oh, yeah, because it's about the fame and infamy, right? It's not the first time in life. Won't be the last time. And by the way, for those of you who think that this is somehow a new thing, Zodiac Killer, Green River Killer, Ted Bundy, this little guy called Jack the Ripper, all of them in some way, shape, or form, the Atlanta child murderers, taunted people. They all taunted people in some way, shape, or form, and they used it in much different ways. Back then, they didn't have Facebook Live. They didn't have ways to record themselves, but it didn't mean that they didn't want some form of infamy. It took a lot longer than shooting somebody on a Sunday and then within 2 or 3 hours going viral and being infamous, if you will. But here's the thing. Now they don't care if they're infamous or famous. They've got notoriety. People know who they are. That's all they're looking for at this point in time, right? A little bit of fame. Where's my 15 minutes? Well, I've been pushed to the brink. Why is he pushed to the brink? Because of his mean girlfriend.
Just killing m****s, man, you know, and all because of this bitch named Joy Lane. You know, she put me in my pushing point, man. You know, I was living over there with her. I just woke up Friday. I just couldn't take it no more, man. I just left. And, yeah, here I am, massacring mother. We call today the, today is the Easter Sunday Joy Lane Massacre.
Oh, man, he is just a good guy there, isn't he? He knows where he's going. He's going to go down. He's going to go down and hail a gunfire. This guy wants that kind of infamy and fame. That's what people are craving nowadays. That's why they do dumber and dumber things. But you can't blame the media. You can't blame the social media aspect of it. You can't blame the tools of it. You blame the individual. It's about personal responsibility. This SOB wounded in his heart, decided he was going to kill because this Joy Lang lady was so mean, was so horrible, was so bad that it was an absolute must that he kill. It was absolutely a must that he kill. Boom. So there he goes. That's what he did. It is horrible. It is disgusting. Now what? Nobody knows. $50,000 reward has been offered. He is wandering somewhere in the Northeast, but, you know, they're thinking the last time they got any kind of feel for him was in Erie, Pennsylvania, when they were able to ping his phone. But by the time they realized where he was, he had disappeared. He's driving a white Ford. I think it's a Fusion with temporary license plates. And, you know, his daughter chimed in and said that, you know, she could see the fear in his eyes, the victim's daughter. That she could see the fear in his eyes of what was about to take place. This old man just doing nothing. And he holds up his little bag and he's got the cans in it as if that's going to stop a bullet. I will sleep fine at night if this guy gets Steve Stevens gets shot. I got no problem with that. I got zero problems with it. He's a scumbag. Here's the thing, on top of all of this stuff, when you do something like this, because you're so self-centered, you're so narcissistic, you don't realize the pain and anguish that you cause the family members who have to understand that, you know, they may not see it, but a lot of other people have seen it. And that is disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting that they have to go through it and know that their father's last moments were caught on film by a scumbag who deserves to be caught and shot. You want to die? You want to send people to the grave because you're mad at old Joy there? Because she, I don't know, maybe she screwed your brother. I don't know, nor do I care. Obviously, whatever she did, I've had my heart broken. I'm sure I've broken hearts because I am that kind of guy. I'm a heartbreaker. I am. Ladies love me. Girls adore me. Even the ones who never saw me. Hell yeah, especially those. I'm a heartbreaker. I've had my heart broken. I've been hurt. But it never at any point in my life did I say, that chick was such a bitch that I got to pick up a gun and kill an innocent man walking down the street. Producer Phil, have you ever had your heart broken? At any point in time, did you think to yourself, it's now time to pop a cap in somebody's ass? Probably not. Why would anybody do that? Because they're angry. They feel like nothing. They feel like losers. And that's all he is a giant ass loser. He's going to get what's coming to him sooner rather than later. At some point in time, there's a $50,000 reward out there. Somebody's going to see him. They're going to report it on social media or called it in, and his ass is going to be done. It's going to be a late night. Somebody's going to pull him over because he's got a temporary tags and one of them's fallen off or something like that, and they're going to pull him over routine, and it's going to get ugly. God willing, they take him out before he hurts anybody else. But desperate men with nothing to lose are the scariest of all. Now you've got a desperate man with nothing to lose who wants his 15 minutes before he expires. Let's hope his 15 minutes is up sooner rather than later. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I did a lot of traveling this weekend. Drove a lot of different places. I did. Drove a lot of places. You know what I wasn't worried about? My car breaking down. My car's a bit older. I don't want a payment. I like my car. People poke fun at my car. I'm okay with that. I'm not a car kind of guy. What I am is a peace of mind kind of guy, and I've got peace of mind now because should something happen to my car, it's covered, baby. I got extended coverage from carshield.com. My engine goes out, my transmission dies, boom, taken care of. 24/7 VIP roadside assistance, and guess what? Why my car's in the shop? At the mechanic of my choice? I get a rental car from CarShield. Boom! What do you think of that? You know how much it costs a transmission? You know how much it costs for an engine? And how many of you don't, you love your car and you don't want a payment? You're just getting rid of that payment. Or you just got rid of it. Well, do the smart thing. Do what I did. Get extended coverage from CarShield. Like I said, 24/7 roadside assistance. You're going to have a rental car while your car's in the shop, so you don't have to worry about stranded cold. And the great thing is you pick your mechanic. You can take it to the dealership. Doesn't matter. They're going to take care of it for you. You have nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. They're going to pay them. You don't have to wait for that check in the mail. If your car's 3 to 12 years old, doesn't mean you have to worry about paying high repair bills. CarShield's administrators have paid close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. Peace of mind, baby. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441. That's 800-856-1441. Mention code Benson or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson, save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson, save 10%. A deductible may apply to some plans. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. We have so much stuff to get to. Like I said, our bucket of stuff is still full. Every time I look in, it's continuing to fill up. Straight ahead. How about this? Trump is the wall, and what do you think the Dr. Dow from United is going to get? Chad Benson Show.
Hey, you want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
Will there be a lawsuit? Yeah, probably. Dr. Dow has come to understand that he's the guy to stand up for passengers.
Yeah, it's awfully nice of him to stand up. Wouldn't stand up, get out of the damn seat. But according to this, neither would I, actually, at this point in time. And here's the thing, news, before I get to how much they think he's going to get. I don't care that you missed your flight and you're going to blame it on United. I don't need to hear it every time. I reiterate it. It's Dr. Dow's damn fault for not getting off the airplane that he got his ass whooped. Shouldn't hold on to the chair either. All right? Should United have done a better job? Absolutely. Is everybody got a little piece to play in this thing? Absolutely. But according to James Goodnow, an attorney at Lambert Goodnow Injury Law Team, millions is what he's going to get. Millions, potentially. He's got a concussion. He has got, apparently he lost a tooth. I'm not quite sure. You know? A couple teeth. I don't know when that happened, but he's going to get. They said future medical bills estimated to be about $100,000. The payout will likely be between somewhere between $300,000 and $400,000. But he's likely to get millions because that's just for the injury. The suffering that really came was the social media side of suffering, where he was embarrassed. And God knows an embarrassment is worth millions. If I was to get millions for every time I've embarrassed myself or been embarrassed, I think we'd all retire, right? We would all retire. They said, what you will see here is a settlement that will blow away anything Dr. Dow will ever recover in court. They don't want to go to court. And you notice how they're not going after the police, really? They're going after United. Not going after the cops, going after United. Because they were United police. No, they weren't. They were Chicago Airport police. They weren't? United has its own Air Force? No, they have their own police. They don't have own like their own Navy SEALs? Like their own platypuses? Was that what you call them, probably? The Navy platypuses? The United platypuses? You can drag my ass up and down an aisle. Hey, hell, for that money, you can drag me naked up and down the aisle, and as I go by, everybody in the plane gets a free swing. Who's up for it? I am. I am. All for disobeying, by the way. Chad, I've said it before, must say it again. United screwed up in the way that they handled stuff. This guy played it for all it's worth, said in the middle of it, I'm going to sue you the minute you touch me. There was an end game to this, and he played it to a T. And you know what? On you. And us. Because we're the idiots here. We're going to end up having to pay more. And now I have to hear story after story every single day of how somebody was denied an opportunity to fly because they were overbooked. Oh, golly gee, shucks. Good God. I want to try at that $10,000, right? Is that Delta? $10,000 potentially for a bumped flight or something? Woo! It's going to be a bidding war. Two, give me two, give me two, give me one, give me one, give me one, give me one, give me three, three, 3,000. I got 3,000 over here, 3,000 over here. Who wants to go to three? Three, I see three. Three, I see four. Four, do I hear four? Four, four, four. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program as well. Weed! How do weed feel about weed in America? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Drawing red lines hasn't really worked in the past. He holds his cards close to the vest, and I think you're not going to see him telegraphing how he's going to respond to any military or other situation.
Translation, he likes to draw blue lines. And secondly, Spicer has no idea what he's going to do. I don't think Trump knows at times what he's going to do. Talking about North Korea there, obviously, red lines in the past have not worked with North Korea. Blue lines, green lines, orange lines. If you drew a little fence, right, you know, maybe drew a squiggly line, doesn't matter. This guy doesn't care. He's angry. He's annoyed. He is miniaturized. He's the worst possible whiny little SOB that can have a nuclear weapon. Because unlike his father, who for most of his life understood that it was saber-rattling and that it would make them a player on the big stage when they got a nuclear weapon, but saber rattle to get stuff. This guy is all about saber rattling. And oh, by the way, even if I get something, I still may push the button anyways. I still may do it. You don't know. Because I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And of course, we're talking about Kim Jong-un. Who's unbelievably annoying. So what do? I think at some point in time, there has to be... Look, and this is the perfect, exactly what Sean Spicy Spicerson says here is the truth. And I don't even lay it just at Obama's feet. I lay it at the feet of Clinton, because the Clinton administration and the UN in particular allowed them to get a nuclear bomb. George Bush W. didn't handle it any better.
The era of strategic patience was a policy that the Obama administration enacted to basically wait and see. That policy is not one that is prudent.
No, it doesn't work. It's not going to work. The truth is that at some point in time, there is going to have to be another way to approach this. You cannot have a cuckoo little psychopath who at any given moment may do something. And by the way, let's just say he does something on accident, right? Let's not put it past this brilliant strategic mind of the mad dwarf to do something on accident that causes or launches us into a world war. Let's not put that past. They tried to fire off a missile this weekend and tested it. You know, it went. It was horrible. It was like bad. It was like beyond bad. But let's not put it past that there may be an accident out of this. China, everybody's looking at you. All right? Huh? You think you're old enough to babysit? You think you're old enough to babysit? You're responsible enough to babysit? Now's your chance to prove it. Now is your chance to prove that you're old enough to babysit. Because he can't be trusted. You guys are you feel that you're big brother and you're ready to take that responsibility, well, take it. Because otherwise, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to step up. Our allies, us, we know it's not the UN. Somebody else is going to have to do it. But this guy is looking for a means to deliver a nuclear weapon to our shores. This guy cannot be allowed to hold the world hostage because he is a midget tyrant who is pissed off at the world and believes he's got a God complex and believes he is a living God, and this death cult will follow him anywhere. And his delivery of a nuclear weapon may come sooner than later. But here's the thing. Who can he get this nuclear material to and or a weapon that will change the face of another part of the world, i.e. Iran? Think about those things. Needs to go. Needs to go. And then there's going to be that. Think, even if he goes tomorrow, understand something. Even if he goes tomorrow, democracy's not there. Communism as we know it in China's not there. These people are going to have to be retrained like they used to do the Nazis, where they're going to have to retrain their brain to get them away from this cult-like figure that is this nut job. Weed in America. What is weed? Who is the face of weed?
Weed, ganja, pot, and marijuana.
I am the mama of two beautiful girls, and I used cannabis to treat my postpartum depression.
We're the Somesky family, and several years ago we started treating our daughter's epilepsy with cannabis.
If you are concerned about your children smoking cannabis, your concern needs to be more about what happens to your children if they get a felony for smoking cannabis.
And we're a family that smokes cannabis together.
Yeah, cannabis, weed. It's changed. Yahoo's got a huge, huge study along with Katie Couric, and they put together this massive study about cannabis, about weed, where weed is going, where's it legal, where's it not legal, why are we not at the point where weed should be legal when we all know, for all intents and purposes, it should be legal. Alcohol is far worse. Alcohol is far worse. I grew up in and around drug culture. I never had a drink. Thank you very much. Well, there's my phone's telling me about that. I have never in my life had a drink. I have never in my life had a smoke of any kind that includes weed. And I have never in my life done a drug. I even push away drugs when I've had injuries to my knees or this, that, and the other. Is, you know what? I'll pass. I'll fight through the pain. I saw what weed did, but I saw what real drugs did. Opioids. Heroin, cocaine, weed didn't kill my dad. Those other things did. Meth, speed, coke, heroin. When my dad did weed and smoked weed, different human being. When he was drunk, unpredictable. When he was on other things, he was a mess. I have friends who smoke weed, and they've got very, very high-paying, high-powerful jobs. They don't drink wine. Many of them abstain from alcohol altogether. This is what they do. This is absolutely what they do. They look at it and view it as a way to relax, just like if you'd go home and have wine. And the big argument that it's going to be the gateway drug, I don't buy it for one bit. I have tons of friends, some of which have taken a very poor path in life, but it wasn't weed that took them there. It was alcohol that started it. And abuse of that led to abuse of other things. Most people in America are fine with weed. There's a battle coming with Jeff Sessions because he lives in that super uber conservative moral world that somehow in some way weed is evil. There are benefits to weed. Plenty of them. Plenty of benefits for weed. It's controversy, obviously, as well. This is a lady right here in the story who suffered with postpartum depression.
I'm Celia Behar. I am the mama of two beautiful girls, and I used cannabis to treat my postpartum depression. The first time that I experienced postpartum depression, I felt nothing for her all of a sudden. I'd had so much love for her when she was born, and then I just felt nothing. I just started to feel despair all the time. And it's terrifying, and it's isolating, and you feel so much shame.
So you got a woman here who's had a kid, felt love at first, pushing it away, suffering with something that many mothers go through, postpartum depression, right? Suffering with that. So obviously, what do you do, right? You seek out help. So where do you go? You go to your doctor.
I called my doctor and she had me come in right away. The only thing that was offered to me all the time were, sleeping pills that were really addictive, Valium, Xanax. I was given Ativan at one point and Prozac. And I always felt really hungover the next day. I found it impossible to focus, and I felt really numb.
So, well, of course, what's the go-to? Hey, let's give somebody opioids and anything else that we think may help you. Uppers, downers, sideways, spinners, flip-floppers, whatever it is that we think we can help you with. Now, granted, it's not a bad thing, right? It shouldn't be just tossed out the window. But I'm asking you to open your mind and look at things in a much different way, right? Look at it in a much different way. She's tried them all, and she's just numb. She's hungover. She don't feel good. She doesn't. So finally, somebody says, yo, why don't you try the ganja?
A friend of mine said, do you ever use any cannabis? I think actually it would help you. I was offended. You don't get it. I'm a mom. I can't. And I did think about it and then decided, you know what? It can't hurt. I found that if I smoked pot at night, I could sleep. I did not feel hungover and I didn't feel anxiety. I like to describe it as it makes my brain and my emotions meet at the same place.
We've got to get away from this fear factor that this thing is somehow this evil, horrible thing. Many of you out there probably don't agree, but you come from a different time and a different era. Some of you will talk about, oh, I've had an experience here or there. The fact is, if you look across the board, I'd rather be at what alcohol does comparatively what weed does. Who would you rather be in a room full of, a bunch of drunks or some people who are high? When's the last time somebody who was high just went off the rails? Exactly. Look, it's not for everybody. It's not. But we have to understand that there are medical benefits with this. I am imploring my mother more and more because my little brother, who has cerebral palsy, brain damage, he eats and breathes out of a tube. His body is as stiff as can be, and he suffers numerous amounts of seizures. I am imploring him and her to get him the opportunity to at least look at cannabis, the oils, and what they may do for him. Because I feel it would be a huge benefit. And she's finally starting to look at it and say, I think this is the right thing to do. Because the stuff they're putting into him is damaging him as well. Weed will become completely legal federally wise when they get enough money and enough lobbyists in Washington to start to move the meter. The battle's coming sooner rather than later. But it's a lot of those old fogies out there who are still worried that if you smoke the reefer, there could be some madness. Hey, if you're hiring, a lot of people are, Monday, you're looking for the best candidate. Now, you've done a lot of the same thing, right? Maybe put ads in little papers or whatnot. Stop it. You want an employee. You don't want another, just a worker. You want the perfect hire, and you want to place your job on all the top sites because that is what you can do nowadays, baby. ZipRecruiter.com. How about this? Post your job in 200-plus sites, all with a single click. Facebook, Twitter, all involved. Bang. Single click. Sounds like this. That's your click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once, watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You don't have to worry about juggling emails, crazy phone calls, any of that stuff coming to you. You quickly screen candidates. You rate them, and then you hire the right person fast. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, listeners of the Chad Benson Show, that's you, you can post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Wrap it up, Chad Benson Show.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
My family, all four of my children, understand cannabis. They call it medicine. You take the naughtiness out of it, and it's not something that kids then run to. I'd much rather have a smoke with my grown kids than a drink. Oh, God, no.
Oh, I love the bag of weed song. Keep it going, Phil. That's from Family Guy, if I'm correct.
All we need is a bag of weed to make us want to cheer. Ah. And one, two, a bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. You can try and fight, but we're all agreed because everything is better with a bag of weed.
You know what marijuana is going to change its view? And people are going to change the view on marijuana completely is when it has a new image. And like everything else, here's the thing. Eventually, like here's a perfect example. Baseball players like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and all these guys, that there's this perception of them being in the steroid era and they did use performance-enhancing drugs. And the older voters will not allow that to happen on their watch because their heroes were affected by it. Their records were broken. But those guys are dying off, and a younger generation doesn't care. It's the same thing. An older generation is slowly but surely going to go away, and a younger generation is not going to care as much. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Jim, Nebraska, what's happening?
Hey, Chad. I got a personal story about this whole marijuana thing I need to share. I worked for the state of Nebraska's maximum security mental hospital for 27 and a half years. And one day I went to work, and to make this rather long story a bit shorter, I'll skip over some of it, but I got accused of smoking marijuana, and they wanted me to provide a urine sample, and I knew the sample was going to prove positive, so I just told them, I said, okay, I smoke on my off time, and the test will be positive, so we don't need to do that whole thing. So they did not like me working there because I had been very much confrontive about them letting out predatory pedophiles who were basically going nowhere in their treatment program, and they just wanted to get rid of them because they were eating up money on the budget, but they weren't by any means better than when they came in. And they didn't want me saying that kind of stuff. So when this happened, it was like, you know, this manna from heaven fell in their lap. It was like, ha, we can get rid of this guy. So they fired me. Well, according to the contract that we were working under at the time, they couldn't fire me for a first offense for something like smoking off duty. I should have been put on probation with mandatory urine specimens upon their request for 6 months, and that should have been the end of it. So I appealed it. We went to the first of the arbitrations, and I won because the judge ruled that there was no evidence in the case that I was guilty of doing what would qualify them to fire me, which was to be under the influence and impaired while on duty, which I wasn't. They didn't even make that suggestion in their thing. So then
you got about 20 seconds, my man.
Okay, well, anyway, the point is I should have about $1 million, no exaggeration, between my retirement benefits and property, and I've lost all of it. I right now have to scrape together my short change to go buy a bag of cat food. And it's all because I lost my job over admitting that I smoked marijuana in my off time. Man, if there's such a thing as reefer madness, it is that which grips these people to think that amounts to justice.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. And hopefully you get back on your feet sooner rather than later. It is. It's crazy. It's reefer madness. It's lunacy. It's ridiculous. We need to act like adults, and let's look at this thing reality-wise. It is not going to kill you. I don't care what anybody says. You're not going to overdose from weed. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. Check out ChadBensonShow.com for all the great stuff. Thank the ladies, Diamond and Silk, for coming on today. For Phil and for Anthony, my name's Chad Benson. Have a good night. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.